Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If I had to pick, name one thing that I have prayed for myself more than any other thing in my life, it is that the Lord would draw me near to Him, that He would draw my heart near. I'd be closer to Him. I'd feel His presence more. I'd find more joy in Him. I am just like you. I go through seasons of closeness to the Lord and seasons of coldness. Seasons where I feel His grace so much, I feel like I could cut it with a knife, and seasons where I'm begging for it. Seasons where the joy of the Lord overwhelms my life, and seasons where sin, amen, seasons where sin tempts me more than usual. You guys are going to have to forgive the baby. His normal sitter isn't here. Where was I? There I am. Okay, so seasons where I feel like I'm asleep in my walk with the Lord. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, it's all right. Yeah, we're all good. Yeah. Yeah, it's Ed's fault. No, it's dead. We'll call it dead. We're good. So, as I prepared our sermon in Romans 9 this week, I continued that prayer that the Lord would draw me near near to Him. And as I pondered the season, the Advent season, the coming of the Lord, preparation of our hearts and coming for the Lord, and the Lord's coming, God answered my prayer, and He put it on my heart that maybe I'm not the only one who needs their heart prepared and drawn near for the celebration of the coming of our Lord. So with the elders' permission and my sincere apologies, we're going to briefly deviate from Romans 9 for Advent, and we'll pick back up right where we left off in the new year. But for the upcoming weeks, I want us to work by God's grace and His power to prepare Him room. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We'll start with 2 Timothy 1 today, starting with verse 6 as our launching point, to awaken our hearts so that Jesus will shine on us. And maybe you are on fire for Him right now, and that is wonderful. That's wonderful news. But as you know, there will be seasons when the roller coaster is on the ascent and seasons when it's on the descent. So save this one if that's you. Save this one in your heart for when you need it, or use it to encourage someone else. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." So Paul's writing Timothy to encourage him in pastoral ministry. And Timothy's going to face many ministry trials. To face these trials biblically and to face these trials successfully, Paul wants Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. And he's going to clarify in verse 7. He says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control." So he's going to clarify that gift is of the Spirit. This gift is dual-natured. Timothy's gift of pastoral ministry was given by the Spirit and affirmed by Paul and the elders by laying on of hands. But the Holy Spirit is the power that brought Timothy to salvation in the first place when he was saved by grace. And we see that in verses 8 to 10. He says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The Spirit that was in all of us, this awakening, this bringing from the dead in our sins to alive in Christ. That moment of salvation by God's grace. We feel on top of the world. And this is why we do our baptism when we're saved, right? Because we want to declare to the world, this is who I am now. This is who I am in Christ. And I want all who witness this baptism to hold me to this and to remind me when things are going bad that I am in Christ. But time goes on, right? That time between salvation, that time from baptism, and life happens, and things happen in life, and things distract us in life, and sins happen, and hurts happen, and pain happens. And some things, by either happening to us or our own doing, tend to put a dampening on that fire that was lit. And so we see evidences of smoke from here to there. We see spark from here to there. But it can get to the point where it just wasn't like it was when we were first saved. So Paul's writing Timothy, if you're going to be successful in pastoral ministry, and the same goes for you, that all of us are called to ministry, if you're going to be successful as a Christian, you need to fan into flame that spark. What once happened to you, the fire of the Holy Spirit, you need to fan that into flame. We can't walk through this life cold, lukewarm towards our God. We need to be close to him. We need to draw near to him. We need to fight sin with joy in the Lord. So we need to fan into flame. So, Paul writes Timothy, in all aspects of life, in all aspects of ministry, tap into the Holy Spirit and the salvation that you have through Jesus Christ. Fan into flame. So we want to take that instruction for our own lives and in ministry calling that we all have. The Spirit lit the fire within us as well, and we have been called to fan into flame that gift of the Holy Spirit that we've been given. So, to draw near to Jesus this Advent, to prepare him room, that's what we want to look at today. How can we fan into flame our hearts and the spark that the Lord has given us? So first, let's look at the need. That need to fan things into flame. The need to draw our wandering hearts near to him. Sometimes we know why it happened, how we got there. We know the root cause of the issue, the dryness, the distance, the coldness in the Lord. We've sinned, or we're in sin. We're giving in to sin. And we know it, because God has put his Spirit within us, and we sense it. But something in us is battling. We are holding on to that sin. And what happens when we do that is we feel coldness towards the Lord. Right? We feel it in our spirit. So we need to start with the turning from the sin in repentance that we know we've been, that sin that we've been given into. There are other times when the pain that we're experiencing is so intense or so long, it's been lasting so long, that prayer that we've been praying in pain to the Lord, we prayed over and over and over. And we start to grow distance. It starts to become repetitive to us. But many times, we don't know where the dryness or the coldness or the distance came from in the first place. We were going about our lives. We thought things were going well. We were going through our routine. And the Lord showed us somehow, some way, that things aren't how they should be. It seems to sneak up on us, doesn't it? That can be the worst sometimes because we don't realize that we've drifted away from God. The reasons are fairly simple, but we drifted into them so slowly, so smoothly that we failed to see it coming. We let our hearts get satisfied with earthly treasures so that the treasure of Jesus has lost its shine for us. We've set our affections on earthly treasures. Maybe things in life have been going well, and I haven't been longing for the Lord Jesus like I did when things weren't going as well. So that distance started to make its way in my heart. Or maybe we found earthly solutions, or what we thought were earthly solutions to our spiritual problems. So we stopped turning to Jesus. We stopped waiting on the Lord. Because the quick fix was enough to satisfy our needs or our desires, or so we felt. We've let our time with the Lord slip or become a formality so that we're no longer being fed with real spiritual food through His Word. We're just going through the motions. And if we do our devotions, our Bible reading, our fellowship time, or church attendance, it's like going through the motion, like water going through a pipe. It's just going through it. We've slowly let the opinions of others and the views of others matter to us more than we do of our Lord and Savior. So then instead of living for Him, we start living for the approval of others. And our heart goes right along with it. Christmas, right? We see this more than any other time. I know God is purposeful for giving this a celebration, this time of year, this Advent season. And let me just say, hopefully not to go down a rabbit hole, but this thing that's going on with the city of Lower Burrell, this Christmas in the woods, right? This can be a time for us to enlighten, to show, to bless the community with what Christmas is really about, right? We can let it go down the path that it always seems to go down in other areas and other communities, or we have a possibility to be an influence here. But Christmas, right? We can let it become about everything that it's not, about the gifts, about the money, about everyone else's opinion of us. We think more of what we want and what we don't have. We forget all that we've been given. So we've understandably so at times, especially during Christmas season when the hurts and the pains come up, let our misery of our situation this time of the year outshine the star of Bethlehem that leads us to our true comfort and our true hope and our true joy. Or we've let our sin, our delight in sin, lead us to forget that Jesus came to save sinners. That's what this season is about. By grace, through faith. All these things, many ways, happens to us all the time. Sometimes it's multiple of those ways. We let our fire die down to a smoldering wick, and our zeal has slowly been put to sleep. God gives us verses like Ephesians 5:14 that say, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's what we want this season. We have to wake up. So how does God do this awakening? How does he cause us to wake up from going down this path of our own doing, going down this path, letting things slip, to being awakened that something needs to change, right? That's his first act of grace, is he shows us something's wrong here. And that's a gift from God. He uses all sorts of means in life to do that. Sermons like this, Advent season, reading our Bible, words from a loved one, seasons of suffering, trials. He uses many things for us to be reminded we need to come alive. I think of Revelation 3, 1 and 2, writing to one of the churches. He says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. He says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. This calling for us to wake up, to not be satisfied with the lukewarm, with the apathetic Christianity, right? That feels nothing. About nothing. We sing these songs and nothing happens in here. And we can all get like this. We have to battle for this. But we see God being straightforward in his command for us to wake up and for his command for us not to fall asleep, for his command to have zeal and passion and joy in him. To take joy in him seriously, but he also pleads with us, doesn't he? A loving father would to his kids. I think of my kids when they're going down a path, the older ones. They say, please, son, don't do this. Don't go down this path. Right? God pleads with us that way. He says, Zechariah 1:3, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. This idea of the Lord longing for us to come back to him. Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, or he will not put out. So when we get to this point, when we're truly his, how about now? Good? Thank you. So, he's going to move because of his steadfast love, because of his faithfulness to us. Jesus came to save sinners, right? He came that our joy would be in him and our joy would be full. So, he's not going to let us go down that path. And the Holy Spirit that he put within us, that's what makes us miserable a lot of times in life, right? It's because our sin wants to go down this path. Our heart has been given to God, and we have this Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit's not going to let us be satisfied in this middle of the road. We're going to get depressed. We're going to get upset. Things aren't going to work. So he's going to draw us back to him. So once he shows us that something is missing, once we know that we've been given his command to return to him, that's when we want to fan into flame. Okay, that our eyes have been opened, that something's going on. He's used some sort of means, a sermon, a holiday season, a friend sharing, hey, something's going on with you. Something, right? Now we've been called. We've been given that command. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We have this word, just like Timothy. Now we have to take that and say, okay, I've got to fan things into flame. Now, how do we do that? When we want that spark to be turned into a raging fire, how? What are some practical ways to do that? And I have 6 of them. So number one, we need to be reminded. You need to be reminded constantly of how great and how glorious God is. Why is that? Because your soul forgets. One day we're going to be with him face to face, and we'll never forget, and we'll never have these moments of wondering, and we'll never have these times of dryness or coldness. Yeah, and it's going to be glorious. But while we're here, in this flesh, in this fallen world, we will have these seasons. So we come in here and we gather together, and I preach to you week in and week out so that you will be reminded of who God is and reminded of what he's done. And you read your Bible so that you'd be reminded of who God is. Your soul wonders and your soul settles for the shiny distractions, right? We can be going down the path and there it pops up. Oh, that's nice. And we go after that. And it's embarrassing that we do that when we've loved our God and he's done so much for us. But we do this. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:1, he says, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. And both of them, I am stirring you up. And that word, stirring you up, is the same word that's used mean to awaken. Wake up, right? Stirring you up, your sincere mind by way of reminder. I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. I'm reminding you who God is. That's how he's stirring them up. Think about it. It's rare, unless you're a newer believer, it's rare that I'm up here and I'm giving you new information, right? I'm reminding you of what you already know. I'm doing the stirring up, reminding you. Maybe I'm saying something in a fresh way, a new way, but goodness, if it's been 2,000 years since Jesus, if I'm saying something totally brand new, you should kind of be a little worried, right? Should be a little worried I'm making something up. So everything I'm saying, you already know. I'm not giving you new information. Same is true when you're reading your Bibles. Mostly, you're not getting new information where you're learning something. It happens. But most of the time, you're being reminded of how God, great God is. So we need reminders. Remind yourself. When you come to the Word, remind yourself. Just don't go through the motions. You'll get bored, especially if you've read the Bible, you know, more than once. You're like, all right, I already know this. I'm already going. That's what happens to us. That's why we lose that fire, that desire. It's because we come to Christmas season. We all know the birth narrative, right? We've heard this over and over and over, sometimes since we were kids. We need to be reminded. And reminded in our hearts, not so much in our brains, but in our hearts how wonderful this is. How amazing it is that God would become one of us to save us. It's amazing. It's miraculous. Every single time we say it. So we need reminded. You need to remind your heart of these things. Second, You need to access the means of grace that God has already put in your life to wake up and to draw near to Him. Your Bible, whether you read it, and there's something to reading it. I'm all for listening to it. If reading is an issue, listen to it. There's plenty of apps. I was talking to Rob yesterday. He's like, is there a CD? And I was like, it's 2024. There's no CDs. Right? There's plenty of apps. There's plenty of ways that you can listen to it. We can find you a CD if you need a CD, even a tape if you need a tape. But Bible intake. You need the Bible. The Bible is a gift to you. That is a means to where you can stay near. And not just any intake. One where you've prayed and you're like, Lord, show me. Show my heart. My heart needs you to draw near to you. So show me through your word. So Bible intake. Devote time daily to consuming his word for your heart and not just to gain information. Jesus says his food is the word of God, right? Do you eat every day? Multiple times a day? Right? You eat to be satisfied. We eat for enjoyment this time of year especially, right? We eat. You need to eat, intake the words of God. So, means of grace God has given you is Bible intake. Another means is prayer. Pray to the Lord. I would say seclude yourself as Jesus teaches us to do. Find time away from distractions. Put this thing away because this is the biggest distraction that we have in life. Find quiet time alone to pour out your heart to God. And I would encourage you to cry out loud to Him. Not in front of other people for attention. That's not what we want to do. But alone. There's something about praying, crying out loud when it's just you and God. When you can pour out your soul to Him. Does something in us. It's a means of grace that He's given us. Sing, right? Let your heart be lifted up through song and praise to remind your soul of who He is and what He's done. Sing in here like you sing in the shower. Like, let it rip. We take the kids to jiu-jitsu a couple nights a week, and they have to shower immediately when they get home because they'll get an infection from the mats and all the other dirty kids wrestling around on the mats. So we have one in the shower downstairs, and we have one in the shower upstairs, and it's great the days when Jesse and I can just sit there listening to them sing away in the shower, you know, letting it go, and all their happiness and all their joy. There's just something that singing does for our souls, and it draws us near to God. Amen? All right. And another means, and there's several of these, but this is the last one I'll give you on this today, is fellowship. Our hearts can be awakened and stirred up through fellowship. We're in each other's lives for a reason. God uses us to wake each other up, to stir one another up. He says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider, that means think about it, be proactive, don't just let it be reactionary, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And this is one way that we meet together, but we need more than this, right? We were put in each other's lives for a reason, so you have to let other people into your life, and you have to offer to be a part of other people's lives. But it's purposeful by God. One way that He has created for us, our affections to be stirred up and for us to draw near to God, is to fellowship, to be together. OK? Okay? Third, fight sin. Nothing robs your joy in the Lord or separates your heart from Him like sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear." So He hears you. He knows you're there. He hears you. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So fight sin. Repent from sin. Turn from sin. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." That's how we draw near to God. We have to fight sin in our life. Fourth, and this is similar, but these things aren't always sinful, remove the rubbish from your life. And by rubbish, I mean the competition that eclipses Jesus for the throne of your hearts. There's things, good things, gifts from God in life, and they were given to us as gifts to point our hearts to how great He is, but we took them and made them the treasure. Right? Christmas is coming up. We give someone a present, a gift. They say thank you. It's like instead of them thanking you, them being obsessed with this gift. All gifts from God were meant to point us to Him and His glory. But we have things in life that we put up there. And they can be good things, right? Family, loved ones, work, homes, all sorts of good things, entertainment, all sorts of good things. So pray, seek, learn. What are these weeds of life that distract you that need to be plucked? And what plants need to be watered and shown the Son of God so that they grow and bear fruit? We need God's wisdom to show us what is distracting me so that my affections are set on these things instead of on you. And you know, we can't always remove those things from our life, but we can put them in their proper order, right? We can put them in their proper order. So, that's fourth. Fifth, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I have the pleasure of being able to experience the joy of service constantly in ministry, but that's not unique to me. Pray for God to guide you and give you the right heart to serve, and then serve. There's something about it that takes our eyes off of ourselves and looks to the Lord and looks to see how we can love other people through service that draws our hearts near to God. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith." Serve. Find ways you can serve. I know it gets out of our comfort zone. It gets out of our time, right? We're busy. We're all busy. We all have things going on. But that's part of the surrender to the Lord that says, okay, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, or I'm going to sacrifice my very important time, because all of your time is important, to serve in a way. And the selfish part for me, and selfish in a good way, is that I get to draw near to the Lord for it. Right? Other people are going to be blessed through the acts of service that the Lord uses me to give. But what I'm going to get out of it is I'm going to draw near to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that kind of selfishness. Last, sixth, don't waste your pain. Whatever your pain is, if it's physical pain, if it's emotional pain, if it's money and job pain, pain, relationship pain, all of the pain that the sovereign God has chosen to have us go through, you have two choices. You can run away from it, and you can find other things to draw near to in the midst of your pain, or you can draw near to the Lord. We don't suffer meaninglessly. We don't suffer for no reason. All of the time, as a Christian, when we go through painful things, God is using it to draw us near to Him. I mean, He's going to do many other things, but one thing that's guaranteed is that we are to draw near to Him and closer to Him in the midst of this. And oftentimes that's one of the last things we want to do. We just want the pain to go away. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your suffering. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, "For those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Trust the Lord in the midst of the trial, the pain, the difficulty that you're going through. Draw near to Him. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to wake up. I thought about shouting that, wake up! Right? I don't wake up when somebody just say, wake up. Sometimes I need to be shouted at or shook. I say that in love. I do. I say that to myself. This is for me first. But God has given us the gift of this Advent season so that we would find great joy in Him, draw near to Him through the birth of Jesus Christ. This is from Luke chapter 2. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Imagine that situation. I know you know it. I know you've heard it 1,000 times. But just imagine that situation. We have lights and street lights and lamps, and we're used to things. But being back 2,000 years ago with darkness, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Right? This great news. You're not going to find Him sitting on the throne. You're not going to find Him pampered. This is where you're going to find Him, lowly shepherd. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Wake up, O sleeper. Let this day, let this season, this Savior stir up your affections for God, that from this day forward you will grasp hold of joy with zeal from the fanned flame of your soul. Your Savior is coming. Your Savior has come. Glory to God in the highest. Awake, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Lord, our souls need you. for many reasons that you know of. They can become dry and distant, but we want to live in joy for you. When we share the gospel, we want to share it out of joy in our hearts. When we fight sin, we want to fight it because we have a greater treasure in you than that sin is offering. We want to interact with each other with joyful hearts. We want to serve with zeal. We want to read our Bible with passion and open eyes, seeing how glorious you are. We need you, God. Draw us, pull us near to you. Motivate us, give us the strength that we, by the power of your Spirit, will fan into flame this gift of grace that you have given us. And let us all draw near to you as you draw near to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.